Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Now we'll start a series of call-ins for people supporting different presidential candidates. We thought that rather than do only, you know, mixed call-ins where we ask in general, who do you support, we would break out different candidates at different times for short call-ins only for their supporters. The point being to get a sense more of what that candidate's supporters are thinking and feeling and prioritizing, and maybe go a little deeper. Because it's really about you more than it's about the candidate, and that's what democracy is supposed to be, right? Not just a beauty pageant around who do you like, but a vehicle for individuals and communities to express our needs and having a government and society that are responsive to many different people's needs. Obviously, it's imperfect. But as it pertains to this moment in America, here's what we're going to do this hour. Four call-ins, about 12 to 15 minutes each, for supporters of four different candidates. And coming up in future days and weeks, we'll do this for other candidates. It's not to play favorites at all. Today, we'll take calls from supporters of Joe Biden, President Trump, Kamala Harris, and Cory Booker, in that order. So let's start with Biden. If you support Joe Biden for president as of now, the phones are open for you to call in and tell us why at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We know he's been leading in the polls. We know he's been leading among Black Democrats. We know that surprises some people because most of the controversies surrounding Biden's past record have to do with race. Talking down integration, taking pride in the 1994 crime bill, Anita Hill, which raises both race and gender questions, what he said recently about racist senators he worked well with and joked about how one of them called him son, not boy. But he was also the one Barack Obama chose as his running mate, and they seem to have gotten along really well, politically, not just personally. There are also those gender issues Kirsten Gillibrand raised at the last debate. We did a segment about that. And, you know, some women have drawn attention to some handsiness on Biden's part, which he recently promised to stop. Some supporters like that Biden is more moderate on some issues than some other Democrats. We'll let you identify what, if any, those issues are for you. And some Democrats, with your pundit brains, believe Biden would be the most electable against Trump next November. Obviously, there's a debate about electability within the party, the criteria for that to be the most accurate about it. But this is a call-in for Biden supporters as of now. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Call in and talk about why you support him, why you think he would make the best president, and why you think he'd make the best nominee. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And as your calls are coming in, here's a one-minute Joe Biden commercial.
That's why I propose a comprehensive criminal package in this campaign. It begins with passing the Safe Justice Act. My plan goes further. No mandatory minimums. The end of private prison. Additional funding for drug courts. Bail reform. No juveniles at all in adult prisons. Mandatory treatment, not jail, for those with drug addiction. Decriminalizing marijuana. Automatically expunging records for marijuana conviction. Job training, education while you're in prison.
No one should be going to jail because they are addicted. They should be going into rehabilitation.
For all our problems. I have to say, I've never been more optimistic about the nation's future. One of the reasons is because of the perspective gained over my years of public service. The public is ready. They are ready. They've had enough. I believe my criminal justice reform package is as strong or stronger than anyone else's. I'm amazed how far we've come, but I know how much further we have to go and what we're capable of doing. And we can get there together.
All right. Who supports Biden? 212-433-WNYC. We'll take your calls after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we start four short call-ins this hour for supporters of various candidates for president in 2020. Right now, for Biden supporters, why do you think he'd make the best president and why do you think he'd make the best nominee? Beth on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Beth.
Hi. So I am a pragmatic Joe Biden supporter. I don't love him, but I also know that there's no chance that the middle of the road swing voters are going to vote for Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or Kamala Harris. So it's a pretty pragmatic choice. And I am probably more moderate than your typical Upper West Sider. So I think philosophically, you know, I jive better with him, but I think I'm probably much more typical of your more moderate swing voter in the rest of the United States.
What's an example or two of that moderation in yourself as you see it?
Okay, so for example, this whole Medicare for All is just, it's not anything I'm interested in, and I don't believe that most Americans are interested in it. I also think, you know, for better or worse, you know, there's that culture war aspect that a lot of more moderates kind of feel like the progressive left is just, you know, totally out of touch with the way that this country feels and thinks. And the bottom line is that more than anything else, I don't want Trump to be president anymore. And I really believe that there are Trump voters that will vote for Biden. I think the moderates will vote for Biden. And I think if it's like, you know, as I mentioned, Elizabeth Warren, I think a lot of people are going to sit it out. And then it's going to just be like tossing up pickup sticks.
The supporters of Warren and a number of other candidates would say, no, the key to turnout is a candidate who inspires a lot of passion. That's going to get a lot of people who might otherwise sit it out, frankly, Democrats who might have sat it out in 2016, to go to the polls because they feel like there's a movement there, there's a fire there that maybe they don't see with Biden generating the same turnout.
I think that the voters that sat it out in 2016 were probably the more moderate voters who didn't like feel so passionate about the Democratic Party in the same way that a lot of progressives feel. And I think that there is a lot of, you know, evidence out there and surveys that say it's all about the middle.
Beth, thank you so much for your call. Mario in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Mario.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I agree with your last caller. I think it's a lot of people. I'm a New York City cab driver, and I meet a lot of people from the middle of the country, and all of them say is, I'm not a Democrat like AOC. I like Bernie, but he's a little too socialist for me. So the key is a middle-of-the-road guy to defeat Trump, because these people have told me that, like, I voted for Trump before, but I don't like what he's doing. I don't like his rhetoric, but I can't see myself voting for Bernie Sanders. And what you said before is correct. I think the young people will come out and vote, but the young people are in the city. So I think it would be another thing like Hillary. We'll win the popular vote, but we won't win the presidency if we don't have a middle-of-the-road candidate that can get the people in Arkansas, South Dakota, Maine, and those states to vote.
Mario, thank you so much. Robert in Manhattan Valley, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Brian. I think that Joe Biden, based on his age, his experience, and sort of being in sort of more than one wing of the party, of the Democratic Party, can reach out to the center of the country, independents and basically sane Republicans, to bring us back to a normal type of government, especially from the president. I also think that in national security, foreign policy matters, based on his experiences in the Senate as well as his vice president, that he will bring something that we need absolutely now. Someone who knows about collective security, knows about diplomacy amongst our allies as well as our adversaries, and can bring to bear all of those type of life experiences, again, to restore America to what it was, which is basically in more normal times than the present regime. So I think that, you know, you had your little segment about China. I mean, mm-hmm. we need someone who can both be diplomatic but also state American values and principles, which the present government cannot. So that's why I'm for Biden.
Thank you very much. Let's take one more for now. Spook in New Brunswick. You're on WNYC. Did I get your name right? Did you call it Spook?
I'm supporting Joe Biden for three big reasons. One is he's a progressive. Progressive means to make movements in small steps gradually over time. And all respect to Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is not a progressive. He's a radical. That's fine. But let's get that straight. I think we need progressive movement. Second is, as mentioned before, it's the idea of consensus. Instead of being a bully and pushing people around and saying my way or the highway, let's do what people mm-hmm. agree on. A majority of people agree on improving Obamacare, but they don't agree on Medicare for all. Let's take a progressive step in that direction and move that forward. And the third reason is maybe the most important of all, is I trust the guy. I trust that I will agree with 75 to 80% of what he does. I might not like a particular policy, but I can go to bed at night and wake up the next day or a month later and know that the country's in good hands.
Spook, thank you so much for your call, and thanks to all of you who called in supporting Joe Biden. We're in a series of short call-ins for people supporting different presidential candidates. And as I said at the top of the hour, we thought that rather than only do mixed call-ins where we ask, in general, who do you support and jump around, we would break out different candidates at different times for short call-ins only for their supporters. The point being to get a sense more of what that candidate's supporters are thinking and feeling and prioritizing. So I think we got a fair bit of sampling anyway among those Biden supporters. Still to come this hour, President Trump, Kamala Harris, and Cory Booker. So the president is up next. If you support President Trump for re-election as of now, call us up at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What, in your opinion, has President Trump done well as president, in your opinion, and what do you think he could accomplish in his second term that would make you support him for that? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Trump supporters. And let's be honest, we're here in New York, where he only got like 20% of the vote in the city in 2016 and not that much more around the region. Many people listening don't just support other candidates. They're thinking, how could you? How could you support Trump with his politics of racism, like lies about the general impact of immigrants and refugees in our country, telling U.S.-born congresswomen of color to go back to their countries that they came from, and examples too numerous to mention. That's the nature of the division in our country right now, as you know. And on other things, Trump supporters, how much did you like the tax bill, his deregulation, the trade wars, his weakening of climate and other environmental policies and support of fossil fuels, Iran and North Korea, Israel, Putin? What are the things for you? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, if as of now you support President Trump for re-election. He's had support, you know, 40%-ish, right? High 30s to high 40s. Do support the president consistently, according to the polls. And these next few minutes are for Trump supporters. 212-433-9692. What has he done well as president, in your opinion? And what do you think he could accomplish in his second term? Anybody see the op-ed in the Times today by conservative talk show host and former Republican Congressman Joe Walsh? He basically says there needs to be a primary from the right against Trump, mainly because of Trump running up the federal deficit, which is supposed to be a, you know, conservative foundational position, and Trump is just blowing it off. And he cites some of the other usual objections to Trump, but this former Republican congressman from Illinois, Joe Walsh, raising the deficit as a reason for conservatives, he hopes somebody out there will actually primary Trump. So, Trump supporters, does that matter to you? So that's just some conservative pushback But the next few minutes are for Trump supporters. Tell us why you would consider him for another term. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. And we'll take your calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We are in a series of call-ins for people supporting different presidential candidates for these next few minutes, President Trump. Then we'll go on to Kamala Harris and Cory Booker today, other candidates on other days. And let's start with Danny in Manhattan. Danny on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Brian. Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you support, did you vote for Trump in 16?
I did.
And you would vote for him again in 20 as of now?
I will.
Tell us why.
I suspect I don't have the same important issues as most people who support the Democrat candidates. But I do like Trump, yes.
Tell us why.
Yeah. Well, he's, well, despite his brashness, I mean, he is quite transparent in his thinking. I mean, he just says what's on his mind for better or worse.
And what,
it kind of lets you know where he is.
Certainly does that. What do you like,
yes,
for example, that's been on his mind?
Well, I like that he stands for rule of law on immigration, because we really do need that as a country. So, I mean, that's probably a point of disagreement with your listeners.
Right. It's all right. So the immigration thing gets you. He's, you know, he obviously runs on that. He obviously emphasizes that because he thinks he is going to build support through that. So is that your number one issue, would you say?
I would actually say his, as an outsider, his style does not jive well with the establishment, and it's kind of a monkey wrench in the way things are run. I mean, it just seems like the revelations that come out about the FBI and the way the DOJ has handled things. I mean, I just like the fact that there's more transparency.
This comes up a lot.
Agencies are run, yes.
You like the fact that he's poking a big, pick your finger of choice, in the eye of the establishment, use that word, and liberals, right?
Not so much liberals, but the establishment definitely is too comfortable, in my opinion. Uh-huh.
Danny, thank you so much. Let's go on to Mark in Lake Hopatcong. You're on WNYC. Hi, Mark. You're not in the lake, actually, right?
No. I actually live like a two blocks from it. I'm a huge Trump supporter. I've also been a big fan of your show for years, Brian.
I know
some people might think that's a contradiction, but I do feel like you give me a lot of things to talk about and think about with my friends.
Thank you.
But, yeah. But anyway, I actually voted for Obama twice. I was very disillusioned with everything he did, foreign policy, domestic policy. I also voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary last time, and I'm probably going to vote for Tulsi Gabbard in this primary, but if Tulsi isn't the nominee or Bernie Sanders, I'm probably going to end up voting Trump again. What I really like about Trump is what lots of your guests from various NGOs and foundations don't like about him, that he's undermining faith in our institutions. I don't think he's doing it in favor of Putin. It's just that for like 100 years, we have presidents that talk really well, very eloquently, but they overthrow entire nations, are responsible for the death of millions of people, and the media like hardly acknowledges it. Like, I feel like everything Trump does, the media completely freaks out, even if it's just him being mean and talking smack to someone, you know?
Does the fact that he's so widely seen as a, you know, society ruining racist, for you as somebody who has a history of voting for Bernie Sanders and supporter of Tulsi Gabbard, who would probably say that, you know, near the top of her list of reasons not to support Trump, do you write all that off easily?
Well, I wouldn't say it so easily. I feel like sometimes when he says, like, quote-unquote racist stuff, it's more just like saying stuff they're ignorant. But then you have, like, people like Hillary Clinton or previous, like, people like Nixon who are responsible for the incarceration of millions of people. And it just kind of met with like a shrug. But like then if they said something like offensive, like about the thing with the Mexican judge, then everyone would freak out. So that's my opinion on it. I'm not saying that he's not 100% racist, but I feel like the policies he enacts aren't specifically targeting communities of color. And if anything, he seems to be making them a lot better.
Thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Mark in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, Brian?
Okay.
I'd like to piggyback from your previous caller. As an African-American myself, I don't see any of his policies directly against blacks. I think he does have some racist tendencies. I think we all do in some way, shape, or form. I think he has a, you know, stereotype of certain view. But specifically, he doesn't really, the policy doesn't hurt blacks. In fact, it seems like it helps blacks with their unemployment. As far as the connection between illegal immigrants, undocumented immigrants, putting a stop on that and actually tackling it head on, I like that. I don't believe the Democrats can win if they continue just to advocate for open borders, because that's the way it sounds. I know there's some nuance behind it, but to me, it sounds like they're just advocating for open borders, and that's okay. But, you know, as we know, if immigrants come in, illegal immigrants, they take away some of the jobs away from blacks and minorities. I remember listening to your show years ago, and I remember this guy from Harlem called, and he wanted something done about the illegal immigrants because in construction that are being done in his neighborhood, he couldn't get a job. He couldn't work on those buildings, but he noticed that there were some illegal immigrants working there, or immigrants. I don't want to stereotype, but that's where I stand.
So the immigration issue gets you too. Mark, as it pertains to policies that many African Americans feel specifically hurt African Americans, there are many that they point to, like pulling back on enforcement of the Voting Rights Act, pulling back on federal oversight of police departments in cities that have had troubled police departments, advocating against Harvard's affirmative action policy with that lawsuit, taking that side in that lawsuit. So many things that are of particular interest to African Americans, where he seems to side with people who have a lot of resentment or grievance against African Americans. Does none of that bother you? Oop, did we lose Mark? Wait, Mark's
no,
you're
no,
there.
No.
Go ahead. Yeah, we got you.
Yeah,
go ahead. Sorry.
I also see it as a political game. Of course, African Americans vote overwhelmingly for the GOP.
So Democrats.
Democrats. So they're going to use whatever political tactics that they can. If it was the reverse, if the African-Americans voted for GOPs overwhelmingly, they would have advocated for more, I guess, voting rights. I don't really think, personally, is the underlying cause is necessarily racism. I just think it's politics. Again, I could just reference here, again, your previous caller mentioned a great point with the with Democrats, as far as even like Bill Clinton during the 1990s, with his laws specifically impacted black folks that were feeling the effects from it today. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more of a racist act than just kind of verbiage and politics.
Mark, thank you very much. Seema in Cranford, you're on WNYC. Hello, Seema.
Hello, did you call on me, Seema?
Yeah, did I say your name right? Seema, right?
Seema,
I apologize. Hi.
Hi. I got into my car just at the right time because I always listen to you in the car.
I'm glad. So you support the president?
Yes, I do.
Tell us why.
I support him the first time, and I support him this time.
What do you like?
I think he's just what the country needed right now, someone to shake things up. We've had too many presidents who make promises and don't try to keep them. He really does try to keep them. I don't see him as a prejudiced person. I am not a prejudiced person. I know a lot of, I mean, it seems like statistics show that a lot of black people vote Democrat, but there are, people are individuals. I don't care whether they're black, white, Puerto Rican, Mexican, wherever they are from. I hope the people that vote for the issues. And I don't think he's trying to be prejudiced. My family came over. My husband's family came over in the early 1900s. There were restrictions. You had to have a sponsor. You had to have a way to support yourself. You didn't just plop yourself in this country. And I just don't understand why we have to have open borders and just let everybody in. And the people that are already here illegally, it's difficult for them, it's difficult for their families, but it doesn't make it right for them. Just because it was ignored doesn't make it right for them to have all the privileges of a citizen. I think that they should have to conform to what the rest of the country needs. I think that he's trying to open our eyes to realism. When I was young, I was an idealistic liberal, and now I'm a realist. I'm not a Republican conservative. I'm a realist.
So the immigration issue gets you too. Is this of any personal interest? Like, you feel that there are any immigrants here or undocumented immigrants here who are personally affecting your life in a negative way, or is it more abstract than that for you?
Well, I am a lower middle income person, so I don't hire illegal immigrants to run my business. I don't have a business. I don't know whether I would. I would like to think that I would follow the law. I just think that many people that live in this country, and whether they're illegal immigrants or not, are taking advantage of what we have. I mean, years ago, before Franklin Roosevelt, there was no Social Security program and welfare program, and my family was affected by it then. But they had to work.
Right. So it's people undeservedly taking your tax dollars, too.
Not my tax dollars. They're taking it away from everyone. They're taking it away from everyone that should be benefiting from it. And I think Congress is also wasting our money because they're paying themselves very well, and they just waste time on witch hunts and all this other stuff, which really doesn't affect how we live our lives in this country. I would really like to see all of the Senate and the Congress devoting their time to policy and not to witch hunts.
Sima, thank you very much for your call. Terry in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Glad you're on.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I said glad you're on. Yeah.
Yeah. So I should preface my point of view by saying I voted for Obama twice. My first presidential election was Bill Clinton in 1996. And I supported Hillary in the last round. I voted for Bernie in the primary, primarily because I wanted him to move the conversation left. I am a dyed-in-the-wool New York liberal. However, I'm supporting Trump this round at this moment because three reasons. One, and I should also say, he's a bore. I mean, there's no question about it. Obviously, he's a racist. He is a xenophobe. He is a misogynist. He is a product of extreme white privilege, and he's completely out of touch with the rest of the country.
Let me stop you right there for a second, because a lot of the audience right now, probably just having heard that, is saying, what, are you kidding me? Why aren't those things, as a package, disqualifying, and forget about all the other stuff?
Here's why. For one, I think his domestic policy, first of all, I don't like all of the horse race stuff, like the electoral politics. I'm a student of international relations and history, and I'm much more focused on policy, and all of this fakakta horse race stuff I can't with. But so in terms of foreign policy, I do think that it's high time that things get shaken up. I think that American hegemony has turned into American or global dependence on American hegemony, and there's sort of a beggar thy neighbor reality happening with what America supports around the world. And I'm not opposed to that. I'm a fan of collective security and all the rest. But I do think that the global order does need to be shaken up just a bit. And as the last caller was talking about realism, I'm not sure if she was talking about it in the academic context or more colloquially, but at any rate, there is a very real balance of power crisis that is happening in the world with the rise of China economically. And I think that the rest of the world needs to really consider the way it aligns itself with China, and America really needs to consider the way we align ourselves with our allies who have more complex relationships with China than we do.
And you think Trump is doing a good job at that?
Well, I think he's shaking it up. I think he's raising a lot of big, important questions. I don't know that he's doing a quote-unquote good job, but I think he's doing a good job of ruffling feathers, and that's always a good idea.
Terry, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much, and thanks to all of you who called in for this portion of our series of call-ins for people supporting different presidential candidates. We've done Biden and Trump so far. Still to come, Kamala Harris, and then Cory Booker, and for the future, similar format call-ins for other candidates on other days. So right now, if Kamala Harris is your first choice for president as of today, call and tell us why for her. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We know Harris is a member of the Senate and a former California Attorney General, and before that, San Francisco DA. A new article on Politico today says, so far, Harris has a public image as a tough interrogator of Trump administration officials and nominees, one that was bolstered by her surprise confrontation of Biden in the first debate. But she also is developing a reputation for making a splash on TV and then failing to capitalize on it, says Politico. After a sparkling launch, Harris became embroiled in questions about whether she supported the abolition of private health insurance. She doesn't, according to her recently released plan, though she wants to move away from employer-based health care. After the first debate, this says Harris shot up in the polls, but the sugar rush, as Politico calls it, has again subsided. So who supports Kamala Harris? As of today, the lines are open for you for the next few minutes. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. The Politico article also says she wants to sharpen a central characteristic of her message that's being overshadowed by Biden's battle for the soul of this nation, as he calls it, and Warren's plan-centric calls for big structural change. At a bar in Sioux City, in a classroom in Fort Dodge over the last few days in Iowa, Harris leaned into what she called her 3 a.m. agenda, a middle-class tax cut, equal pay for women, and Medicare for all health care that's less aggressive than the proposal pitched by Sanders and backed by Warren, but less of a turnoff for liberals than Biden's plan. So while your calls are coming in, here's Senator Harris on some of what she calls her 3 a.m. agenda.
We all have so much more in common than what separates us. And the way I think about it is what I call the 3 in the morning thought, you know, the thing that wakes you up in the middle of the night. Because here's the deal. For the vast majority of us, when we wake up in the middle of the night thinking that thought, it is never through the lens of the party with which we're registered to vote. For the vast majority of us, when we wake up thinking that thought, it is never through the lens of some simplistic demographic some pollster put us in. And for the vast majority of us, when we wake up thinking that thought, it usually has to do with one of just a very few things: our personal health, the health of our children, our parents. For so many, can I get a job, keep a job, pay the bills by the end of the month, retire with dignity? For our students, can I pay off those student loans? For so many families, can I help my family member get off their opioid addiction? The vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us. And that is part of the strength of who we are as a nation.
So Kamala Harris supporters, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and we'll start with Tucker in Boca Raton. Hello from New York. Tucker, hi.
Hi. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Good. Why do you like Kamala Harris?
One of the reasons I like her, I find that she was an AG that appeals to me, that she will be tough on crime, and she will be tough with you know, President Trump like she was on Biden. Another reason, too, is I've read Professor Alan Lichtman. He has been predicting who's going to be president for the last 50 years, and he predicted that Kamala Harris would win because she's an inspiration to the people. He didn't pick Biden. He didn't pick Warren or Sanders. He picked Kamala Harris. And so for me, I'm picking Kamala Harris not because she's, you know, quote unquote electable. but because she's inspiring, she's young, she's a fighter, and she's tough.
Tucker, thank you so much. Call us again. Nikki in Morristown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in. You support Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's a really interesting candidate. And I think her policies, align with the Democrats. And I think, I may have some comments here or there of the policies, but generally they're good. But I told your screener that I think she's got a chance because she's beautiful. And I know that sounds crazy or sexist because, I'm a woman. I'm a professional woman. So, I'm impressed by her intellect and her ability to speak and debate. But in addition to that, she's beautiful and she smiles. She's able to use that as well.
Do you think
her charm? And I think it's a valuable tool.
Do you think men are going to vote for her because they want to see her on television for the next 4 years?
Well, not directly, but when I look at the world politics, I don't think the United States is ready for a person like Angela Merkel. I think Angela Merkel is fantastic, but I think one of the reasons, and I mean, the Clintons had a lot of baggage, but I think one of the reasons that Hillary Clinton people couldn't stomach her is because her smile looks fake and she looks like an old lady.
Nikki, thank you very much. Carol in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carol.
Morning. I think that Kamala Harris is the smartest woman. She's really very smart. Her presentation is great. But visualize her on the stage with Donald Trump. I think she'd wipe the floor with him. I think ask her a question, she's got the answer. And what does he do? He fumfers. He couldn't answer the question, but she knows how to do it.
She better than the other leading Democrats?
Well, certainly better than Biden. The two of them, they're just two old white men.
Carol, thank you very much. David in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi. I love your show.
Thank you. And Kamala Harris.
Yes, yes.
Because?
Well, she has a very compelling message. She really reaches out to many, many voters, not just Democrats.
What's the message? What's the message as you hear it?
It's a message of urgency. It's a message of now. It's a message of reaching, beyond the normal base of the Democratic Party.
Thank you very much. Dahlia in Highland Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dahlia.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for actually pronouncing my name. All right, you are one of the first of any who have done so on the first try.
So made a good guess. Go ahead.
So I support Kamala Harris for a number of reasons, one of which, while I'm from New Jersey, I lived in Los Angeles, California for about a decade while working in the entertainment industry. Very fortunate for that. I don't think I would have learned as much about her if I hadn't otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I truly love the majority of her policies when it comes to domestic policy, but the fact that she was such a successful AG, I think that, to use a term that is way too often used by Trump supporters, quote unquote, shake things up, which I would love to know what they actually mean by that.
What made her a good AG, in your opinion? There's the debate by people who didn't live in California is, do we want a prosecutor as president? Who's really going to do? Is she really going to do criminal justice reform? So, what made her a good AG?
Well, I think, for example, when it comes to her stance on her actual actions, not just stance on the death penalty, we've actually seen through her being an AG what her stance is through her actual actions, and through the recent developments of pushing through, I'm forgetting the exact number of inmates on death row currently that they're attempting to actually, go through with the actual, I have a hard time even saying it, to be perfectly honest. When I hear her speaking about that given topic, as well as many others, I'm just using this as an example, I hear her speaking about it, I can actually turn to very true events that she has put into action mm-hmm. in the past, as while being a prosecutor, while being an AG, while doing a number of things as a public official. And I truly believe that she's going to carry that over as mm-hmm. if she does in fact become president.
Dahlia, thank you so much. We are in a series of call-ins for people supporting different presidential candidates. Short call-ins. We're doing four this hour. We've done Biden, Trump, Harris, and for our final one today, the phones are open now for anyone who supports New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And since people around here have seen and heard a lot of Cory Booker over the years as mayor of Newark and recently as U.S. Senator, I went to his campaign website to see how he's introducing himself to a national audience, and I'll read you, as your calls are coming in, the top of page one, after you get past the fundraising appeals and the join our mailing list appeals. It says, Cory believes that when we join together and work together, we will rise together. The importance of community was impressed on Cory early in life. When Cory's parents decided to move into a neighborhood in a good school district, no one would sell them a home due to the color of their skin. A group of volunteer lawyers who had witnessed acts of violence against peaceful voting rights activists on Bloody Sunday were inspired to help black families and stepped in to advocate for Cory's family in their journey to home ownership. So that's how he starts. One of the things that he's become associated with is his so-called baby bonds proposal, a form of reparations, but that gives a certain amount of kind of a savings bond that matures at age 18 to every American, but that's intended to close the racial wealth gap. Here's 24 seconds of Cory Booker on that.
And so this idea in America where if I work hard, frugal, play by the rules, I can build wealth to transfer, that's actually fading. And what you see is the very idea of America, that this is the best country if you're poor to be born. Well, that was true in my father's generation. But now you can see that moving up in the ladders, getting to be easier in other countries, while we are stagnant and the wealth gap is growing.
All right, Cory Booker supporters for president, it's your turn. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And we'll take your calls right after this. They're on WNYC, and at the end of four short call-ins for supporters of different presidential candidates, it's Cory Booker supporters' turn at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Kim in Ridgewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kim.
Hi. So I think Cory is awesome. I find him very inspiring. I don't think he has that much of a chance because he is just, he's so inspiring and he's so earnest, but I still, just if I'm going for my first choice, mm-hmm. he would be him. One day I was out hiking and I met a woman who was a freeholder and we were talking about him and she said, you know, he was there during my swearing in and she said, he is just the real deal. I mean, people sometimes take him as being like a little, I don't know, inauthentic mm-hmm. because he is so earnest and everything. But she said, nope, that's really mm-hmm. how he is.
All right.
And I love that he cares about things like, you know, the environment and the way he eats. You know, he is a vegan, and I find that impressive.
And Kim, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much. John in Toms River, you're on WNYC.
Hello.
Hi, Tom. Hi, John.
Hi. I'm very much for Cory Booker for a number of reasons. Tried to make it quick in the film Street Fight, a documentary made some years ago. It shows that he puts his money where his mouth is. He lives in the projects, lived in the projects. You follow him around in cinema verite style and see where his heart is. I also think he's wonderfully articulate, passionate, intelligent, brilliant, all those sorts of things. And it would be wonderful to have another black president follow up with our former black president, who I also love. And, of course, I'm from New Jersey, and he's a homeboy in many ways. Healthcare. I did want to say that, too. Uh-huh. His somewhat modified response to Bernie Sanders, who I also love, healthcare program seems more saleable, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other thing? Not only is he a vegetarian, but, oh, yeah, well, the money where his mouth is sort of in.
John, thank you very much, John. All right. Nancy in Califon, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Brian. I'm a very long-time listener, and I love your show. I have called once before, but I am a Cory Booker supporter, as well as really most of the Democratic candidates. But what always stood out to me when he became mayor in Newark was that he put himself in other people's shoes, and I think that's something that's totally missing today. He put himself on food stamps to see if he could actually live for a month with it. And I think people don't realize that so many of us come from other places, our heritage does, and we just have to, reach out, do unto others mm-hmm. as we would like mm-hmm. them to do unto us.
Nancy, thank you so much. Wasim in Parsippany, you're on WNYC. Hi, Wasim.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call again. I love your show.
Thank you.
Cory Booker is one of those high-caliber candidates that we should be lucky to look for, and we certainly have several in this campaign. Cory Booker is a Rhodes Scholar, and his heart is where his ideas are. That's very important. We need intellectual integrity and emotional commitment of a candidate. He's a very Gandhian type of candidate, and if we are lucky to get him into the White House, I'm sure he's also on the younger side. So, and he was the mayor of Newark. So that also matters because he understands what the poverty and such impact on the lives of people, ordinary people is. So, and he has faced discrimination. So in these times, I think that's one of the big issues too in our political discourse. Overall, it'd be great to have him, and it'd be after 100 years since Woodrow Wilson that we'll have another New Jerseyan in the White House. So that's another one to go for. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Wasim. Thanks so much. And interesting, with respect to Booker, that most of the callers supporting him did come from New Jersey. So we seem to live in the age of backlash against the local politician when they try to run for higher office. But most of our Booker calls there did come from New Jersey. So thanks for all your calls today for these various candidates. I hope this led to the good discussion of politics and life we were aiming for. We'll use this format for calls supporting other candidates on other days. The Brian Lehrer Show was produced today by Lisa Allison, Zoe Azoulay, Amina Cerna, Jeremy House, and Priscilla Alibi. Our summer interns have been Alan Asuncion, Avery Miles, and Maria Robin Somerville, and the head of live radio at WNYC is Megan Ryan. It was Matt Morondo and Leora Noam Kravitz at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer. Thanks so much for listening.